The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen. Daf Nun Aleph, Perek Chazkat HaBatim. Today's daf is being studied, the Edu Neshmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Amud Bet. We are two lines from the bottom. Gufa. Amar Rav. We learned already a statement from Rav. En Mahazikin Benichse Eshet Ish. Which means there is no Hazakah Benichse Eshet Ish. When it comes to a married lady, as we learned in Dav's statement, that if somebody makes a hazakah, or somebody takes the property of an eshet ish, there is no hazakah. Rav's logic was because the lady doesn't make a maha'ah, because she relies on the husband. Which means she says, of course I didn't open my mouth, because I figured my husband's going to scream. So therefore, even though the guy has the field for however long he has it, her silence is not considered that as if she sold it to him. Adrabah, we explain her silence is, it's normal for her to be quiet. She's not going to fight somebody else. And she expects her husband to do that. So that's what Rav said. In mahazikin menichseh eshet ish. However, v'dayane gola amru mahazikin. But the judges in the galut, who are these judges? So the Shbam says Shmuel and Karna. Those were judges. They say what? Mahazikim. There is a hazakah. That means she should have protested. Which means they hold that a lady doesn't rely on her husband. And therefore she should have screamed. She should have made a maha'ah. Especially if somebody else is eating the perot besides her husband. The husband, of course, is allowed to eat the perot from the nechsem milog. But if somebody else is eating, of course she's makpedit, and she should have screamed. She should have made a maha'ah. The dayanim of the gula don't hold that she relies on her husband. Adraba, she should have done it herself. If she doesn't, so therefore, the fellow makes a hazakah. So we have a big machlokah between Rav and the judges of gula. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, halakha, Kedayane gola. So Rav comes along and says, the halakha follows the dayane gola. So Amru le Rav Kana v'Rav Aseh le Rav. So the rabbis tell Rav, Hadar be mor mishmate. You're retracting from your statement. You just held that what? There's no hazakah. And the rabbis of the gola held, there is a hazakah. So you're saying the halakha is like the dayane gola. That means you're retracting. Amalehu. He says, no. Mistavra amre. I hold that the dayanim of the gola, their statement was going like what? Ked Rabbi Yosef. Why? If you remember on yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yosef gave a specific case where the lady must make a maha'a. What was that case? Where the husband, let's say, sold the field, sold her nechseh midlok to somebody else, and then he died. And then for 3 years after his death, she didn't say anything. Oh, in that case over there, where he had 3 years on the field, and the lady was alone, the husband was dead already. In that case over there, she has to make a maha'a. So Rav says, yeah, when did the dayanim of the gola say that there is a hazakah for a lady, for a man on a field that takes a lady's field? Yeah, that's talking about a case where the husband died and there was 3 years of her silence. Then already it's considered hazakah. But in a regular case, where a guy gives the field to somebody else, as long as the husband's alive, her silence is not to be interpreted as agreement. Adrabah, because she relies on the husband. So Rav did not retract. Rav is explaining the Dayane Gola's deen in a specific case. Like the Gemara says, Kedar Rabbi Yosef. Look at the Rashbam, Mistavra Amri, Hechadav Yam Miksat Hazaka Behayev Ba'la, V'shalosh Lachav Mitat Ba'al, Kamo Shepiresh Rabbi Yosef De'el. Hatamu de Mistavra de Mahzikin. The Harav Gufe Hachi Kamalel Eshet Ishri Khalim Hot. The Mashma de Mahzikin. Umiyu Dayane Gola Bechol Anyanim. Which means Rav himself held that in a regular case of a field, she doesn't have to protest, but in a case where Rabbi Yosef said, even Rav will agree. Now it should be noted over here, Rav did not mention the words of Yosef. Rav came before Rabbi Yosef by many generations. When the Gemara says over here, Mistavra Amre, Mistaber, that they said Kedir Rabbi Yosef, Rav never said the words Rabbi Yosef, Rav never saw Rabbi Yosef. It's the Gemara explaining Rav. The Gemara is explaining that Rav will hold that statement of Dayane Gola is following the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, and Rav agrees to that. That in the case where the husband died and there was 3 years of Hazakah, then for sure there is a Hazakah. 3 years of silence, then there is a Hazakah. So they're talking about two different cases. So they're not arguing. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara says, "Velo leisha benichse ba'ala." Now we've got a reverse case. Let's say a lady is eating the perot of the field of a husband. She's eating it for 3 years. She cannot come along after 3 years and say it's mine, right? And this, and the explanation the Gemara says right away, "Peshita." Of course, kevan di itla mezone. Since the husband is obligated to feed the wife, mezonehu deka achla. Everybody knows that it's not her field. She's only eating what's coming to her, meaning the perot of the field. And that's why the husband didn't make a maha'a. So, which means, it's pashut, we have to tell me this case for. Of course, when a lady's eating from a husband's field, everybody knows it's not hers. It's just she's eating what the husband's obligated to give her. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzericha di chedla ala ahariti le mezona, which means we're talking about that her mezonot were designated from a different field, and she's eating another field. So therefore, this field that she's eating was not designated for a mezonot, and therefore, and the husband kept quiet. So you would have thought, since this is really not the field where she was designated to eat mezonot from, and it's 3 years she's on, and the husband didn't say anything. Maybe she can claim after that she bought it from the husband. Kamash ma'alan, that you cannot interpret his silence as an agreement. Adrabah, we say the husband is not makpid. He's not makpid if the lady eats perot even from a different field. So his silence is not as interpreted, not to be interpreted as if he's agreeing that the field is hers. Adrabah, his silence is not to be interpreted as anything. Adrabah, we say that the husband is mohel, the wife, to eat from the perot. So now comes the Gemara and says, oh, so you just told me a very important rule. You said a lady cannot make a hazakah, meaning just because she was eating for 3 years, on the husband's field. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ha re'aya yesh. But if she brings a clear re'aya, let's say she produces a shtar that the husband sold her the property, or she brought witnesses, so then already it sounds like, yeah, with a shtar, then already she can establish ownership. Only with 3 years of hazakah, we say she doesn't establish ownership. But with a shtar, that's it. Of course she establishes it. So the Gemara says, lema. What do you mean? Why should that establish ownership? The husband has an alibi. The husband could say, legaluye zuze hu deba'e. I was trying to reveal the hidden money that she has. Which means, the husband maybe can say like this, yeah, I sold her the field and she paid me for it, but I didn't have kavanah to really sell it to her. I knew she was stashing away money and she was hiding my money from me. So I wanted to reveal the money that she's hiding from me. So I told her, yeah, I'll sell you the field. So she had to take out money. She took out $10,000, for example, and she gave me the money. When I took that money, I didn't have kavanah to, I didn't take the money as a kinyan. I took the money as to recover my money that she's hiding from me. So therefore, why are you telling me, even if she produces a shtar, the sale should not be a sale? Because the husband could come along and claim, no, I was just doing it to, to expose all the money that she's hiding from me. And that's my money. So therefore, it's not a sale. I was taking my money back. So the Gemara says, from the fact that you don't say that, from the fact that we say that when she produces a shtar, the sale is a sale, Shma'mina ha-mocher sadeh le'ishto, that if a person sells a field to his wife, kanta, she's koneh the field, ve'lo amrina le'galuye zuzeh hu deba'eh, and we don't say that he's doing it to bring out the money that she took from him, that she's hiding from him. Adrabah, we say that his kavanah was really to sell the karka. Which means, really later on, we're going to see that there's a machloket on this. Can a husband say this claim after he sells his wife a field? Get clarity. We're talking about a case of it where the husband is selling the wife a field, and there's going to be a machloket. One rabbi is going to say, no, the sale's a sale. Well, why not? Why can't he sell his wife a field? You know, she has a shtar to back it up, no problem. Another shita is going to come along and say, no. The husband can always come along and say, nah, I didn't have kavanah. But what do you mean? You took money from her. Of course I took money from her. That's the money that she was hiding from me. That's the only reason why I sold it. So that's really a machloket. So the Gemara is going to have to analyze now. We're making a diyuk from our Mishnah. That when the lady's eating from the husband's field, there's no hazakah. So we made a diyuk, but if you bring it a ayah, if she brings it a ayah, if she brings a shtad, it'll be considered a sale. But that only works according to one opinion. That only works at a point of the opinion that says that the man cannot say l'galuyezuzehutabai. But according to the other opinion, how do they learn the Mishnah? So comes the Gemara and says, no, you have really no ra'ayah from our Mishnah. Emma, make the diyuk of the Mishnah like this. That which we said hazakah doesn't work for a lady on a man's husband's field, make the diuk like this. Ha-ra'aya yish. However, if there's she brings a ra'aya, it'll work bishtar matana. In a case where the husband gifts the field to the wife, then already establish it. Because there you can't say he's trying to reveal money because he didn't charge her any money. Which means, yeah, there's no hazakah, but matana works. Which means, if the lady brings a shtar matana, inechaname, will come along and say it's hers. However, I can argue that if she brings a shtar mechira, I could come along and say, no, the husband was just doing it to, because the lady's stashing away the money. He wants to see where all that money is. He believes it's his. Therefore, he never meant to sell. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Now, don't bring any ra'ayah from our Mishnah to that machloket of selling a field to your wife. No, selling a field to your wife, that's a machloket. The hiddush of the Mishnah is, if she's eating from the field for 3 years, there's no hazakah. But if he gifted it to her, shtar matana, then already, there's no money over there, it's just a gift. And then we believe her. So comes the Gemara and says, on this topic, Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna. Rav Nachman tells Rav Huna, Lo hava mor gaban beurta betchuma. He says, you weren't with us in the tchum. Tchum literally means the boundaries. That's what they used to call the yeshiva. They used to call it the tchum because they used to build the yeshivas outside the city a little. At the end of the Tehum Shabbat, at the end of like the 2,000 Amot, far away from the Yeshuv where the people were, in order that people from outside cities can access the Yeshiva on Shabbat. So they built it, on the outskirts of the city, so people from other places will be able to access it. So they called the Yeshiva the Tehum. Anyway, Amar le Rav Nachman Ravuna, Rav Nachman tells Ravuna, Lo hava mor Gaban beurta betchuma. As I didn't see in the yeshiva yesterday. Says it's a shame. De amrinan mili me'aliyata. Because we said over there very hashuv items. Good, the vrei Torah and the midrash, and you missed it. So the Gemara says, Amar le. So Ravuna says, my mili me'aliyata amritu. What were these hashuv vrei Torah that I missed? What was this? The vrei Torah said, Hamocher sadeh le'ishto, a person that sells a field to his wife, Kanta, she's kone the field. Velo amrinan legaluye zuze hudeba'e. And we don't say that he's doing it to reveal the money that she has. When he accepted the money from the wife, he accepted it from the status of kinyan, and he sold it, and the sale is binding, and finished. He says, oh, you missed it. We concluded that hadush. Amar le, so Rav Huna says, that's a hadush. Peshita. Of course, there's no hadush in that. He says, because dal zuze mehacha v'tikni bishtara. Just forget about the money. You don't even got to get involved in the money. In those places over there, the custom was, besides writing, besides transacting with money to buy a field, they also would write a shtar. So therefore, you don't even need the money to serve as a kinyan. The reason why the husband can sell a field to his wife, you don't even got to come to the sivarav, or the money is revealing, not revealing. He writes a shtar. And therefore, once she has a shtar, forget it, it's binding over there. Which means, even if the husband will come along and say, oh, I only accepted the money because I was trying to reveal the money that she was hiding from me, so what? But why did you give her a shtar for? So from the fact that he gave her a shtar, the shtar is binding. So he says, this is pashut. And don't we know that? Midlo tenan, didn't we learn the Mishnah? Nechasim sheyesh lehem harayut, which is karka. Niknin bekesef ubishtar ubhazaka. Shtar is one of the ways that karka is niknit. You don't need money. The shtar alone is good. And therefore, since the sale over here, you're right, they did it with both, having it with money and shtar. So he says, pashita. Once you have a shtar, of course the sale is a sale. That's what you're telling me? I missed the hadush in the yeshiva yesterday? That's no hadush. That's obvious. So he says, no. Rav Nachman says, no, I'm sorry. Amale velav itmar ala. That mishnah that you just quoted me, that shtar works for kinyan, didn't we learn on that mishnah? Amar Shemuel, lo shanu elam bishtar matana. Which means, when do we say a shtar works for karka? That's talking about when you're gifting a shtar matana, aval bishtar mecher lo kana. However, when it's a shtar of a sale, the buyer is not kone the karka ad shi yiten lo dameha, until he actually pays. Which means a person is not gomer da'at. A person doesn't conclude in his mind to sell a field until he gets paid. Which is even in a place where they write a shtar. But the binder is the money. So therefore, if you take away the money in this case over here, you don't have a kinyan. So therefore, I go back. I say, yes, it is a big chidush we said in the Midrash today. That since the money is the binder, and we say the sale is a sale, that means we don't say that the husband can come along and say that he was doing it for to reveal her assets, the assets that she was hiding from him. So adrabah. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna. So comes the Gemara and says, Rav Huna comes back. He says, what do you mean? Velav motiv Rav HaMenuna. What are you talking? You're telling me that a shtar only works for a shtar matana? That's what Shmuel said. Shmuel was rejected. Rav HaMenuna knocked him out. How? From a braita. The braita clearly says, Bishtar ketzad. How do you use a shtar? Katav lo ala niyar. Which means the seller writes on a piece of paper, or on a cheres, or on a piece of cheres is clay. Af al pi she'en bo shaveh peruta. Even though the shtar itself is not worth a peruta, it doesn't matter. The shtar itself does not be worth anything. So long as you could write on it, it's considered a shtar. And what does he write? Sadi mechuralach. My field should be sold to you. Sadi netunalach. Or my field should be gifted to you. Harezu mechura untuna. The sale is a sale and the gift is a gift. Now must be we're talking about over here, two shtarot over here. We're talking about a shtar mecher, like it says, sadi mechura lach, or shtar matana, or sadi netuna lach. In both these cases over here, it says it's binding. So you see, without the money, he clear bright that it says a shtar works for mechira. So back to Rav Huna's point. Of course, when a husband sells a field to the wife, he gives her a shtar, Take the money away. You don't need the money. The shtar makes the kinyan. So comes Rav Nachman back. It's back and forth between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. Velav hu motiv la, vehu mefarek la. Which means Rav Ben Huna asked the question and he himself answered the question. Bemocher sadehu mipene ra'ata. When do you say that a sale of a field is binding with a shtar alone? That's when a guy is selling a field because it's inferior, because it's a bad field. Which means when a guy wants to unload a field because it's giru'ah, its quality is inferior. So in that case over there, of course, he wants to unload it. So therefore, he's gomer da'at, even with the shtar. So when he's selling a normal field, then he's not gomer da'at till he gets his money, because he's selling a proper field, a nice field. But when he's trying to get rid of a low field with low grade, so then already he's gomer da'at even with a shtar. But on a regular field, you're not gomer da'at until the money. So that's one way of answering. So therefore, back to the point where the Gemara is saying that really it was a chiddush that was said in the Beit HaMidrash, that when a man sells a field to his wife, the chiddush is that what? That we say the sale is a sale, and the chiddush is that the shtar in that case really doesn't work, because the person is not gomer until the money is given. And the hadush is that he can't say that the money, I was doing it to reveal her assets that she took from me, that she was hiding. Adrabah, he must have accepted the money as a kinyan, and that was the hadush in the Beit HaMidrash. The Gemara comes along and brings another answer to the question from Kiddushin. V'Rav Ashi Amar, b'matana bikesh litna lo. Another answer. That which the Braita said over there, that a shtar works for Mechira. No, it didn't mean that a shtar works in Mechira. The first answer, what I was talking about, where he's selling inferior stuff. You're right, on inferior stuff, the shtar is binding. Because the guy's mekneh, because he wants to get rid of junk. Oh, the second answer is, nah, both those cases over there were talking about where he was giving a gift. And the shtar matana, of course, is binding. The shtar is the binder. However, the hadush over here is, sometimes a person will give a gift, but he writes the shtar of the gift, bilashon mechira. Why would he do that? Because there's certain advantages that a sale has over a gift. Namely, if I give a person a gift, there is no recourse. If somebody comes along now and takes that gift away from the person that I gave it to, because there was a lien on it, and the likuhot come along and they say, oh, there was a lien on it and I'm taking it back, so he can't come back to you and say, oh, you got to reimburse me. It was a gift. I'm going to reimburse you for a gift. Masha'en ken, if it was a sale, so of course we know, if I sell you something, so now the likuhot come and the malve comes and takes the field away because he says I have a lien on it. So now the guy that bought it comes back to the guy that sold him and says you got to pay me money. So sometimes when a person would write a gift, would give somebody something, he would give him a gift but with the stringencies of a mechir, which is he would tell him, if somebody takes it from you, I'm going to reimburse you. So the mechanics is a gift, but it has the stringencies of mechira. That's what it meant over there in Kiddushin, when it said that or the Braita, that when a person writes a shtar mechira or shtar matana, didn't mean a shtar mechira regular. Really, shtar mechira is not enough. Really, when you're selling a field, the binder, the item that finishes the kinyan is the money. The money is gomer. Ah, what are we talking about over here? He wrote a shtar matana, but the shtar matana in a mechir way, in a way of a mechir. Why? To give the advantages of mechir. That's what it says. Kedeli yapot koho, in order to give strength to the one that's buying it. That'll have the benefits as a buyer. In any event, that's what the Gemara is concluding over here, that Rav Nachman said in the yeshiva, They said a hiddush that day, that when a man sells a field to his wife, the sale is a sale. The money is binding. And the husband cannot say, oh, I was doing it for to see how much money she has that she's hiding from me. Metive, the Gemara has a question still against this shita of Rav Nachman. Lava min ha'eved. Let's say a person borrowed money from an Eved Kenani. He has an Eved Kenani, his own Eved. He borrowed money from him. And he wrote him a shtar. He wrote him a shtar, and therefore now, well, let's say he has to pay him back. Vishihriro. And then eventually he freed the Eved. Or Minaisha. Guy borrowed money from his wife, and he wrote a shtar to that fact. Vikirsha, and then he divorced her. In lahim alav kilum. They cannot collect any money. My tama, why can't they collect money? He took money from them. You know why he can't collect? Because he can say lab mishum de amrinan. Because we say legaluye zuzehu de ba'e. He only did it to reveal the money that the Eved was hiding from him and the lady was hiding from him. That goes against them. Nachman, you just told me that a husband cannot say that. But in the cases over here, we see that he can. How are you going against this braita? He says, no. Shani hatam. Over there is difficult. There is talking about a loan. When it comes to a loan, delo ni halel shivuye nafshe, a person does not want to put himself in a position to be Eved love le ish malve. We know there's a rule that the love, the borrower, becomes the slave to the lender. And therefore, he wants to get out of that. He doesn't want to be in a position of being a lender, I mean a borrower. Nobody wants to be a borrower, especially with the pasuk says, Eved love le ish malve. So therefore, in that case over there, he'll say, when I took the money, you think I want to become a slave to this guy? There I took the money because I wanted to reveal if he's taking any money from me. So I just took the money because he probably had some of my money hidden. So therefore I told me I need a loan. But he doesn't want to be a loan is a weak position. In that case over there, he could say that he took the money just to reveal. In the case of a sale, nothing degrading if a person sells something. So a person sells something, for example, to his wife, then already he accepts money, then already the sale is a sale. He can't come along and say, no, I was doing it to reveal the money, to see if she was taking any money from me. That's why I took the money, to expose the money. No, that's not a bad thing to sell something, but to become a borrower is a bad thing. So when a person borrows money from his ayavid or from his wife, and they pull out a shtar after, he could come along and say, in that case, no, I didn't want to be, I only did it to reveal the money that they were hiding from me. So there's a difference between a case of a love, a loan, to the case of a difference of a mechir, of a mechira. Comes the Gemara, so that was Rav Nachman's din. Let's review again. Rav Nachman's halacha is, a person sells a field to his wife, so the deen is the sale is indeed a sale. Shalach Rav Huna Bar Abin. So Rav Huna Bar Abin was the Talmid. He sent it to the yeshiva. He sent the students to the yeshiva the following question. Hamocher Sadeh Le'ishto. Person sells a field to his wife. Kanta. So the field is sold, uba'al ochel perot. However, the husband is still allowed to eat perot from that field. Which means, not only is the law of perot on the fields that she brought in when they were married, but even fields that were brought in after the marriage, even, let's say, fields that she acquired after marriage, for example, he sold her a field, the deen is he still gets to eat perot. They're still married. So the hadush over here is, yes, but the sale is a sale. No question. We're not talking about that. The hadush over here is, even though the sale is a sale, he gets still to eat the perot. Kabbalah says, beram, in truth, Rabbi Abba v'Rabbi Abhu, v'chol gedolei hador amru, and all the great rabbis of the generation came along and said that the husband cannot eat perot. B'matana bikesh letnola. Because really the husband was gifting the field to the wife. It's not a sale. It's a gift. Ve'lama katavla leshum mecher. So why did he write it as a sale? Kedeh liyapot et koha. Just to give her extra privileges as if it's a sold field. But since it's really a gift, the husband does not get to eat perot, because the husband does not eat perot from fields that were gifted to her. As we're going to see later on. So if you have a big machloket over here, you have the first rabbi, Rav Huna bar Abin, he came along and said, nah, you sell a field, he still gets to eat the perot. So the rabbis, the Gedolei HaDor, came along and said, no, nothing doing. Really, we assume that when a person sells a field to his wife, the case is talking where he sells it, he really gifted it, but he wrote it in a way of mechira in order to give her the advantages of mechira. What are the advantages? I told you already. The advantages of mechira would be that she can, if something happens to the field, he would have to reimburse her. You don't have to reimburse somebody for a gift, but you have to reimburse as a mechira. So it comes out like this. That what? That the first shita holds that no, the sale is a sale, and the money that he got is considered, Ma'aser Rav Huna bar Abin holds, that the sale, it's a sale, and the money that the husband got is binding, like we said above, that he cannot say, I was doing it to expose the money that you have that you're hiding from me. That's what Rav Huna bar Abin holds, which means Rav Huna bar Abin, the fact that he's selling it, you're selling it, it's a sale, and but the husband can sleep perot, he's looking at it as a sale. It means the money is a sale. That's like Rav Nachman. So comes the and says, Metive. So they asked the question on him. Same question that we asked above. Lava mena eved. Guy borrowed from his eved Kana'ani. And then what? Veshechnero, then he freed him. Mena isha, he borrowed from his wife. Vegirsha, and then he divorced her. Einahim alav kelum. They have no claims against him. Maitama alav mishum ve'amre legalu yezu zehu deba'a. Same question. Because she could say, oh, I was only, I took the money from you as a loan, because I knew you had some of my money hidden. So I was just doing it to reveal my money. I never intended it to pay you back. It's my money. Also, so he can't say that. So therefore, how could Rav Huna bar Abin come along and say that while when a person sells a field to his wife, the sale is a sale, why can't he come along back and say, oh, that the money was given as the money that I took. I didn't take it as kinyan. I took it just to expose. So Gemara says again, like the answer we just saw, Shani Hatam de lo li shave inish eved lo ve li ish malve. As we said earlier, same answer. There, nobody wants to be a love. A guy does not want to put himself in a position to be a borrower. Borrower is an eved to the malve. So in that case, when it's a borrowing situation, he could come along and say, nah, I know my Eved was hiding money from me. So I just told me I want to borrow $10,000 so I can see the money. I get the money back. Hey, we think I want to be a borrower? I wouldn't make myself a borrower for no reason. That's the reason why I did it. I did it in order to expose the money. Same thing with a husband that when he's borrowing. But in the case of a sale, if he sold it, the sale is a sale. And the Hadusha of Rav Huna bar Abin is, but the husband still gets to eat perot. Now, we see other Amoraim are going to weigh in on this subject. Amar Rav, Hamocher Sadeh L'Ishto. Again, guy sells a field to his wife, Kanta. The field is sold. V'Ha'ba'al Ochel Perot. The Hadush is, the husband still eats perot. B'Matana. Oh, but if he gifts it to his wife, kanta, of course, the sale is a sale, the gift is a gift, ve'en ha-ba'al ochel perot, that's the hadush, but the husband does not eat perot. And the logic is, because when a person gives a gift to somebody, he gives it ba'ayin yafa, he gives it with a good eye. And therefore, when you give a gift, you're giving it in totality, that he's giving it to the wife, that he should not have anything left over. No benefits, no perot. But when it comes to a sale, so we say when a person sells something, he sells it ba'ayin ra'ah. He sells it with a cheap eye. which means saying, I'm selling it here, but I want to keep as much as I can keep after the sale. So in a sale, he sold it to his wife, but he still gets to eat the perot. But when you give a gift, tana ba'ayin yafa'u noten. That's the shita of Rav. Rabbi Elazar amar, ehad ze, ve'ehad ze kanta. Whether it's a mechira, whether it's a matana, ve'en haba'al ochel perot. But the husband cannot eat perot. Which means that, because we'll explain Rabbi Elazar like we explained above, that really his intention was to gift the field. So why did he write in the shtar, I'm selling it to you? He meant to say, it's a gift, but it'll have the privileges of a sale. Meaning that if it's taken away from you, I will reimburse you. So that's like the other rabbis, like Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abu, and the other Gedolei Ador, that said that deen. So that's the machlokin Rav and Rabbi Elazar. Avad Rav Hizda Uvda Kerabi Elazar. So there was a story that Rav Hizda followed the shita of Rabbi Elazar. What happened? A lady came with a shtar mechira from her husband on one of the fields, and Rav Hizda came along and said, okay, the husband cannot eat perot. Pusek Rabbi Elazar. Amrude Rabban Ukba v'Rabban Nehamya b'nei b'nate d'Rav. The grandchildren from Rav's daughter came to Rav Hizda, and they told Rav Hizda, Shavik mor Rab Rebe ve'avid kizut kizutre, which means, hey, you left the old rabbis, you left the Gedolim, meaning Rav, our grandfather, and you're going like the small rabbis, like Rabbi Elazar. And they say, why are you being posek like Rabbi Elazar? Why did you say that the husband cannot eat perot? Why are you taking the small rabbi over the big rabbi? How come you're not being posek like our grandfather? Amalehu, ve'ana nameke Rabbi Rebbe Avde. Which means, what do you mean? I also was posek like the Gedolim. Dechi'ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Yohanan Ehad Zeh, ve'ehad zeh, which is whether he writes a mechirat to his wife, or whether he writes matana kanta ve'en abal ochel perot, which means you see, I was posek like shitat Rabbi Yohanan, that's the friend of Rav. Which means he said, what are you talking about? He says, I had big rabbis. Ravin was brought in the name of Rabbi Yohanan also, that says that the husband doesn't get the perot. So therefore, I'm not being posek like Rabbi Elazar alone. I have backing, I have Rabbi Yohanan also that agrees with me. So again, Rav Hizda was posek, the husband doesn't get perot. So the grandchildren of Rav say, hey, you left our grandfather. How can you be taking the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? He said, what do you mean? It's not only Rabbi Elazar. You have Rabbi Yohanan also. When he came, we heard a psak from Eretz Yisrael that he said that the Baal doesn't have perot. Amar Rava. Now the Gemara concludes. Hilcheta, what's the bottom line? Hamocher sadeh le'ishto. A guy who sells a field to his wife, lo kanta. Oh, the sale is not a sale. Ve'habal ochel perot. And that's a strange psak. We have to see in a second what that means. You sell a field to your wife, not a sale. But the husband eats perot. Sounds like it's contradictory. We'll wait for the Gemara to analyze that. Bematana, but if you give it as a gift, kanta, ve'en abal ochel perot. Now, even in a gift, if you gift it, kanta, she's kone, but that we understand. Matana kanta, the field is sold, is given a gift, and the husband cannot eat perot. The matana case, we understand. You give a gift, you give a gift. He cannot eat anything. But the Gemara asks, tarte, what do you mean? The first halakha that you said is contradictory. First you tell me, a guy who sells a field, lo kanta. Lo kanta means the whole field belongs to the husband still. Then you tell me that the husband eats perot. That's mashma that the sale is a sale, but he can still eat perot. And make up your mind. Which means, if you're telling me, hamochir sadeh le'ishto lo kanta, that's because you must hold, because he can say, no, the money, I was just doing it, I accepted the money to reveal, to expose the money that she was giving me. It was really my money that I was just getting back, because I know she's hiding money from me. That's why lo kanta. But then when you say that the husband eats perot, that's mashma that the sale is a sale. And he can't say that I was just doing it to reveal the money. And that's why he's supposed to make up your mind. You're saying contradictory statements. The Gemara says, La kashya kan b'ma'ot temunim. Kan b'ma'ot she'en temunim. Which means, what are the cases talking about? Which is the first case that Rav Sraba said. Is the lady, the husband bought the field from the lady. Which is the upside, the lady bought the field from the husband. It's talking about b'ma'ot temunim. So about with money that the husband did not know existed. Oh, she's also, she says, hey, where'd that money? Where'd you get that money from? Or in that case, we say, lo kanta. In that case, we say the sale is not a sale at all. However, in the second part that we said that the sale is a sale, but he has to eat the perot, b'ma'ot she'en temunim. We're talking about monies that the husband knew existed, which means he sees her pay with certain monies that he knew already that she had the whole time. So therefore, he can't come along and say, oh, we're just doing it to expose the money. What do you mean? You knew that she was paying with money that you knew about already. They were galui already, ve'omed. So therefore, that's the second shot is that he's the sale is a sale, but he gets to eat perot. The amar of Yehuda, ma'ot temunim lo kanta. If the ma'ot, he doesn't know about those ma'ot, the kinyan is not a kinyan. Ma'ot she'enam temunim, kanta. But ma'ot that are not temunim, ma'ot that he knows about from the beginning, that of course the sale is a sale. So no, that is really the sugya over here of selling a field to the wife. So basically a few shitot out there, but Rava gives us the bottom line halakha. Bottom line halakha is, matana is a matana, that's it, it's a gift, and he relinquishes all his rights, even the perot, because when a guy gives a gift to b'ayin yafa, when it comes to a sale, it depends. If he didn't know about the monies that she's paying with, that he can come along and claim, hey, I did it to expose the money that you were taking from me, and therefore I did not accept it as a kinyan, that money, therefore the sale is not a sale. But if the money was known to him from before, then the sale is indeed a sale, but he still gets to eat pirot. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen ve'amen.